Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is a Wretched Radio on a witnessy kind of Wednesday. Going to hit the streets with Aaron. You remember him, don't you? Who are you there with, dude?
Well, I'm at the golf tournament that's happening this weekend, actually, in the television.
The sacrifices you continue to make just humble me.
I'm working. Anyway, but here's your first subject. His name's Adam. Adam's Jewish.
Okay.
That's all you get.
That's it.
Yes.
And he's working at the golf tournament, I presume.
Yes, I work with him.
All right. Oh, so if this doesn't go well, this would make things very tense for you, wouldn't it?
It sure would, but hey.
Wow,
hey,
look at you, willing to sacrifice a relationship just for this here little, just that Adam might get saved.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no kidding.
Believe me, that would be great.
All right, let's have a chat with Adam, the Jewish fellow who's working at the golf tournament. Pass her over, Aaron.
Hello.
Adam?
Yes.
Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it a ton.
All righty.
Now, is this going to be difficult for you to have a conversation with a cell phone while there's professional golfers trying to concentrate?
Well, no, I'm not really within earshot of these professional golfers. So.
All right, good. So, Adam, do you know what your name means?
Well, it's the first person who was ever in existence, according to a publication.
That's called the Bible. That is correct, sir. But do you know what it means in Hebrew?
The first man, I think. No?
Not the first man, just man.
Yeah.
It just means man.
Okay.
Do you believe in the biblical creation account?
You know, it's a nice homily that, you know, people can go to when they need help and whatnot and guidance, but I'm not really a big believer in the creationism theory.
And so you think the Bible is wrong?
I think it's a nice collection of stories.
Well,
and
that,
most
that
of them
of,
have.
That kind of borders on patronizing. It's either you think it's wrong or it's a fairy tale.
Well, most of them,
or it's wrong.
Most of them have a nice moral to them and whatnot, and they can be used as teaching tools. But
let me ask you this question, Adam.
I don't take it as a literal story. No.
Okay. What is the allegory? What is the picture that we're supposed to learn from the idea of Passover with the blood on the doorpost? What was that story about?
You know, I'm not a big Bible reader, but I do know the story of Passover.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Levitical laws? You know all those ceremonial laws about the killing of lambs and the shedding of blood? Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with them, but I couldn't recite them for you.
Well, that's okay. There's chapter upon chapter in the book of Leviticus that describes a ceremonial system with a sacrificing of a lamb for the covering of sins on the Day of Atonement. You're familiar with that as a Jewish man, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yom Kippur. What's the allegory there?
Well, that there's something to make up for the sins that we have done throughout the year, and that we sacrifice for them.
Okay. Do you remember the story?
And it's a day for atonement.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this whole concept of blood being sacrificed for the covering of sins, it's quite consistent throughout the course of the Old Testament. And as you rightly said, it's for the covering of sins. It's for atonement, making man right between God and man.
Right.
Adam, why do you reject that concept?
I don't know if I'm rejecting it. I'm just saying that it doesn't necessarily still have the same weight that it did when it was written, perhaps.
Why?
I guess because that was something that was written in another time and place, and not everything carries over to the present day. Certain things may, certain things may not.
Well, while I agree with that, I suspect that we would agree on that for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that that sacrificial system isn't in place anymore, but I think that there's a reason for it. I think what you're saying, though, is you've just decided because it was written so long ago for those people, it seems a little on the primitive side, and so I'm just going to reject it.
I don't know. I don't believe in killing for sport. You know, which many people do. You know, I think if you kill something, you should eat it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's a topic. But I don't know.
Well, they did. Adam. Yeah. Let me share with you a little bite of information inside of that book. That it would maybe at least make you say, ah, I understand why they were so into all of that stuff. You see, the reason that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the reason that there needed to be an animal sacrifice for the covering of sins was because of that S word, sins. God gave the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the Jewish people were supposed to follow them and obey them.
Right.
But because they didn't, they needed a covering for their sin, for their failure to keep the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that those Ten Commandments, my Jewish friend, were given to you to be a schoolmaster to teach you something. They were designed to teach you that you actually need a sacrifice for your sins. And by looking at the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, if you look at it like a mirror, it should reveal something to you. And what it should reveal to you is, even though I compare myself to other people and come out looking pretty good, when I compare myself to God's standard, I suddenly learned that I need myself a sacrifice really bad. Were you aware of that? So let me ask you a question, Adam.
Yeah.
If you compared yourself to the Ten Commandments, how do you think that you would need a sacrifice? To appease God, to satisfy his wrath?
I suppose so.
Okay. Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Well, if you were to, you know, I think so, actually.
Okay, has God always been first in your life?
Oh, my. Well, perhaps I haven't.
Yeah. Have you ever taken his name in vain?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You did a little bit earlier. I don't know if you realize that. You did that a little bit earlier. Did you know that? When we first started talking, when you used his name to kind of make an exclamation point, instead of honoring his name, you kind of used it just to toss it out there to exclaim excitement. Have you kept the Sabbath day holy?
Not always.
Did you always do everything your parents told you to do?
Mostly.
Mostly, but they had to tell you to clean up your room a second or a third time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's dishonoring your parents. Have you ever been unjustly angry with somebody?
No,
somebody?
I always think my anger is justified.
We all do that. It's just like when you're driving down that highway, that person deserved to get the finger for driving like that, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right. How's about this one? You'll love this, Adam. The Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery, but then it goes on to state that if you just look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Well.
Yeah. Mm. Because God sees your heart, the intentions of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Ever told a lie?
I guess I'm shot down.
Okay. So let's just say, Adam, that you die, and God judges you based on the standard of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think God should do with you?
I guess he'll do whatever he does, if that's what it comes to.
Yeah, but what do you
Was
think that?
That
is? What do you think he should do? If he gave those laws, and you're supposed to obey them, but you haven't, what should he do with you? Should he reward you or punish you for breaking the laws?
Well, I guess it goes back to, you know, how strong in Jewish faith that I am, which, you know, I was born Jewish and I call myself a Jew, but I'm really not, you know, following a lot of the stuff. So I'm open to other systems of belief as well.
Right. But the question was, if God exists, if the God of the Bible exists and you die, you've broken his laws, whether you're Jewish, you're Polish, you're Lutheran or whatever you call yourself.
Right.
What should a just judge do with you?
Act whatever the punishment is, I guess.
What do you think it should be? Heaven or hell?
Oh, you're saying I believe in hell? I don't.
Well, you don't have to. It doesn't make any difference.
Well,
I can say I don't believe in jails, but if they exist and I'm guilty, I'm going. This is all predicated on if God exists, if the Bible is true.
I still put myself on the heaven side.
How come?
I guess I'm partial to myself. I don't know.
I'm certain you are. I think we're all partial to ourselves. But if God is judging you and you've broken his laws, you're not the judge. He is. He hates sin. What should he do with you?
I guess he'll have to figure it out. I can't speak for him. That would be really supposing a lot.
Well, I don't know that it's supposing a lot if he's made it pretty clear in the Bible how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do. I think it's pretty obvious, don't you?
I can't say I'm going to go to hell. No.
All right. Hey, Adam, I'm glad you talked to me. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today, all right?
Okay.
This is Wretched Radio. If any of you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
For this commercial, you'll need a marker and your calendar. Prepare yourselves. Wretched is having its annual digital download sale August 16th through the 18th. All right, grab your calendar and your marker. Mark August 16th through the 18th, Wretched Digital Download Sale. It's perfect for our international brothers and sisters and really anyone that doesn't want to pay for shipping, even tree huggers who hate to waste paper and bubble wrap. The prices on our resources have been completely slashed. You're not going to want to miss out. And you'll only be able to find these reduced prices August 16th through the 18th. See your calendar, the one with the marker? So make sure to visit the Wretched store then to find awesome savings on our digital resources. Visit wretched.org/sale August 16th through the 18th for Wretched's annual digital download sale. Wretched.org/sale August 16th through the 18th. All right, put the marker away and hang the calendar on the wall now.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Aaron the actor.
Oh, Todd the host.
Oh, Aaron the snippy one.
Oh, you got me.
Where are you, dude?
I'm at Santa Monica College. In Santa Monica.
Like, hey, we preached open air at Santa Monica College, and we got some great hecklers a number of years ago.
Oh, really? That's funny, because I'm out here, and no one wants to talk about God. It's the weirdest thing.
Fancy that. I can't imagine. You mean they're not just all seeking after him all over the place?
Yes, I'm out here with all these criminals. No one wants to talk about the police.
Exactly.
That's like, okay, let me tell you about fighting them. Your next victim here. Just kidding. His name's Frankie. Now,
victim.
Frankie's gone through an interesting experience. I just walked up to him, and he's like, dude, I can't go on. I'm right now. He's 21. Some 40-year-old woman is stalking him, trying to kill him. She's like some rich sugar mama, and she's trying to, like, buy him with, like, gifts and stuff, kind of like Mrs. Robinson, I guess.
Boy.
I don't know. Anyway, so he's, like, fearful of his life. He's, like, he's afraid of dying, so he's talking to his parents. So he's quite shooken up at the moment, but I got him to go on.
All righty, well.
And he's agnostic.
Good.
Here's Frankie.
That should be fascinating.
Hey, what's up?
Frankie, I'm so pleased you come on the radio. Hey, what's happening with this woman? She's chasing you?
No, this woman, 48 years old. I'm 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
I met her at a bar, and she coerced me to come in with her by saying how successful she was. And, you know, she rolled off in the Porsche and everything. And so I was, like, kind of, like, intrigued by the whole, like, you know, Mrs. Robinson there, like the sugar mama. I'm experimenting. Next thing you know, turns out, Two days later, she's crazy stalker, and she's trying to kill me, and she's sending hitmen to my house.
Well, she's doing you a favor, Frankie. Do you know what she's doing?
What?
She's helping you as a young man to face your mortality. You're going to die. You could be murdered. You could be hit by a truck. You could be dying in your old age, but you're going to die.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's insane. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw a big, huge Caucasian white guy dressed in all black, just like waiting for me, asking me to come outside. I was frightened. Oh, it was crazy.
Well, listen, Frankie, while we're on that subject, what do you think happens after somebody dies?
I'm going to float around. That's what's going to happen.
You're going to float around? Well,
yeah,
you got nothing to worry about then if you're going to float around. Hey, Frankie, you don't believe in heaven or hell?
You know, I don't believe in heaven or hell.
You must have thought about death. I mean, you're not silly. You're obviously an intelligent guy.
Heaven or hell, you know, it's like, I mean, I think people are bad and I think people are evil, but and good. But I don't believe in, like, the whole, you know, bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven. I don't believe that.
So now, you said that people are bad, people are good. Where are you? In between or what? Are you a good person, do you think?
I don't know much about anything, but I would say I'm a good person. I teach kids chess. And
you teach kids chess?
Yeah, chess.
Oh, that's great. Game. That's very virtuous.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's have a little test to see if you are a good person. Here we go. There's four questions. It's called the good test. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Have you ever told a lie?
Of course.
So, Frankie, what do you call someone who tells lies?
Yeah, you call them a person.
Yeah, we know that, but what are they called if they tell lies? What would you call me if I told lies?
It all depends on how big of the lie was. If it was a white lie.
Well, it's a big lie. It's not white. There's no color to it.
Oh.
It's a lie.
Okay,
L-I-E.
Well, then I'd say you're a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah, it starts with L and it rhymes with fire.
Starts with L, rhymes with fire.
I'll do it for you. Liar. Let's move on.
Liar.
Have you ever stolen something, Frankie?
Yes.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals?
You call them a thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Don't need to answer that. You've used God's name twice in vain since you got on this program. It's where you use his name as a cuss word, and it's called blasphemy. Final question,
yes.
Frankie, and I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
Jesus said it. Someone's not going to back over you with a truck, are they? It's
no,
not that
no,
big
no.
6'5" guy in a truck.
Yeah, it's a huge truck.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just watch where it's backing.
I guess I'm just a really bad person.
Hang on, we haven't finished yet. Frankie, here we go. Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman?
Have I what?
Ever looked lusted at a woman with lust?
Oh, of course. Always.
So listen to this, Frankie. You're not a good person. You're like the rest of us. By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart.
Yes, yes, I am.
So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, you know what? You could. I sin and I go to the church and I repent and hopefully he forgives my sins and I'll be fine.
You go to church?
Every now and then, you know.
What church do you go to?
Just the Christian church down the street.
You could have fooled me. I thought you didn't believe in anything. You just floated around, but we found out you go to church, the one down the street, on a regular basis.
You know, every not on a regular basis.
So, man, it should concern you that if you died today, you'd go to hell. Frankie, I don't want that to happen, do you?
No, of course not.
All liars are their part in the lake of fire, the Bible says. But you'd know that because you go to church, so you're in big trouble. What are you going to do on Judgment Day?
On Judgment Day, I'm gonna sleep for a long time.
Yeah, well, the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The dead, those asleep, will be awakened and stand before God in judgment. So you're not going to be able to sleep through this one.
Really?
Man, what are you going to do? Seriously, you're 21 years old.
I'm probably going to be haunted by this 40-year-old killer for the rest of my life.
Yeah, this 6'5" guy is probably a professional. If he blows you away, you're just part of the 150,000 people that die. How many people? 20,000 people are murdered in the U.S. each year. You'd just be another statistic, but I don't want you to end up in hell. So does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell?
Yes, it kind of does now.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, do you know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
He sacrificed himself.
He sent his son. God became a person. He inhabited a human body and gave his perfect life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Do you know what that means?
It means he's a good man.
No, it means that you can be forgiven your sins because Jesus took your punishment. He was bruised for our iniquities. His blood was shed so you could leave the courtroom on the day of judgment. Frankie, you can be forgiven all those sins, that lust, the selfishness, the greed, the rebellion, the blasphemy, the lying and stealing. God can wash away your sins and grant you everlasting life.
That's great. That's
Do you know that every one of us are being stalked by death? It's going to get every single human being. 10 out of 10 die. So make peace with God. Repent, Frankie. Don't just confess your sins. Turn from them and trust Jesus Christ. And God will forgive you, and you can face death square in the face and cannot touch you if you're a Christian. Death has lost its sting. Frankie, do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
When did you last read it?
It's been a while, actually.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I need to come back to it and repent and pray a little bit because I'm in a little bit of a danger here.
Oh, we all are, Frankie. Seriously, the Bible says we sit in the shadow of death, every single person. There are people today who are making plans for tomorrow who won't be here tomorrow. Thousands of them. And so we've got to make peace with God while there's still breath in our lungs. I've got a friend here, Todd. Would you talk to Frankie?
Frankie, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
I'm really curious, as an eavesdropper on this conversation, what's going through your head right now, Frankie?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going through my head. I'm brainstorming all over the place right now, actually.
Yeah? Tell me where it's going.
It's going towards my afterlife.
Yeah, thinking about stuff.
Yes, of course.
You sound like a nice guy, Frankie, and this is a pretty big thought. But see, we go from being boys to men at some point, and we need to start thinking about manly things, and that is, what are we doing here? What's going to happen when we die? And we need to get down to business with facing things like our mortality, our conscience, the things that we've done in this life, and if there is somebody to whom we will give an account, what will I do? And the whole, Frankie, do you know why you are on this planet? Do you have any idea what you're doing here?
I'm here to live life.
Nope. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Well, that's one of your jobs, perhaps. But listen, the Bible says that you are here. The whole reason this world exists and this universe is in existence is so that you will glorify your Creator. And the Bible makes it clear, you are going to glorify God in one of two fashions. If you die in your sins, having broken all of His laws, God will punish you for your law breaking. Because people are going to look and go, that's right, he's just, and justice was served on Frankie. He didn't get away with his crimes committed against God, and you'll glorify him. Here's the other way that you can glorify God. If you will repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says God will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. And then when you sit in heaven for all of eternity, all of creation is going to go, do you believe how good God is? He actually saved Frankie. And you can glorify him that way.
It doesn't sound like a bad deal.
No, sir, it doesn't. So, Frankie, my friend, think about it, okay? Because if the Bible is true, you will be glorifying God in one form or another, all right?
See, that's the question, if it's true. I mean, it's difficult for me because I'm a bit agnostic, you know? So it's, you know, I believe in Charles Darwin and evolution, and I also have, I also believe in God, so it's pretty,
Frankie, that whole thing's a non-issue. Just shelve it for a few moments, get right with God, pour your heart out to him, let him change you, and also go to the police and say I'm being stalked and see if they can help you.
Frankie, yeah, we're grateful you talked to us, dude.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
This is Wretched Radio.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish.
Todd.
All right, so where are you today?
But hey, well, I'm at Central Market today in Southlake, Texas, and I went into the wine section. They have all kinds of different wines, and there's this gentleman named Michael. And I said, hey, you know, Michael, I know you may think this sounds crazy. You want to be on the radio right now? He goes, sure. What about? What's the radio going to be about? I said, well, kind of like death and the afterlife and things like that. I said, you know, Michael, here's a question they might throw at you. If you were to die tonight, where'd you go? And he goes, whoa. He goes, well, he goes, I think I would kind of go into that waiting place before I'm judged for heaven or hell. And I said, were you raised in a certain religion? That's another question they might ask you. He said, Mormon. I've grown up Mormon my whole life. And at 18, I stopped practicing. He's all, and I haven't practiced for 15 years. And I said, so, you know, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I've been a general manager, a GM for all kinds of restaurants for many, many years. And now I work here in this wine section. I said, do you drink wine? He says, every single day. So he's kind of, I think, an expert wine tester / taster. And he's really an interesting guy. His name's Michael.
All right. Well, let's have a chat with Michael, the wine connoisseur.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Hey, I saw this interesting thing on PBS. They were teaching people how to drink wine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and they said if you're going to sniff it, you put your nose like right into the, I mean, don't be shy about it. Just practically plant your face right into the glass.
I mean, you almost want the wine actually touching the tip of your nose to be able to get all the sensories and everything going in your olfactories. Yeah.
You know what that, you know, I have to tell you what that reminds me of. It reminds me of Epicureanism.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just the finest, enjoying all of the senses. It's not like hedonism, which is eat, drink, and be merry. It's
right.
Epicureanism is eat, drink, and be merry, but make it really fine stuff so you don't have a really bad hangover.
Absolutely.
And make sure that it feels good. Okay.
So, and enjoy what it is you're tasting, you know? No matter if it's food or wine.
Do you think would you consider yourself to be an Epicurean?
I absolutely would, yes.
Do you think that there's no point in living beyond just enjoying things?
You know, I don't think that there is. I would disagree with that.
Okay.
I think that there is a point to where enjoyment becomes a little too obsessive, I think. But I think as long as you're enjoying it just for the, you know, the sheer fact of what you're doing, you like, you know, whether it be food or whether it be, you know, wine, like what we were talking about. I think that there's a point to where you cross a line to where enjoyment is
too much,
or, you know, obsession. Maybe
it becomes your idol. It becomes your God.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Michael, when life is done, what will the point have been for you?
For me, I've always tried to live my life in, number one, meeting new people. I truly believe that the more people you know and meet, the more you learn. And I think not only about other people, but I think the more you learn about yourself, but I think it's more importantly, I believe that as a person, I owe it to other people to treat them with respect that I would want to be treated as.
Okay.
And I think that is the main point of life for me, or at least that's what I try to live.
Be nice
anyway.
To people. The golden
right,
rule.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the golden rule is very underestimated whenever people really talk about it. I think it's kind of fluffed off a little bit now, you know, and kind of shrugged off, but it really is the basis of all humankind, I really believe, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting whenever you look at other, you know, all the different religions in the world, that's really the basis of them all.
Okay, so, Michael, let me ask you this.
Huh?
I'm certain that you've seen an older person that you knew when they were younger. As they get older, something starts to happen as they get sick. Their world gets very small. Have you noticed
right.
then?
Absolutely.
Suddenly it goes down to their house or their apartment, then it's their bedroom, then it's their bed.
Right.
And you're alone on your bed with your thoughts. Michael, when that day comes for you, let's say that day was tomorrow. You're confined to your bed and to your thoughts. Are you going to look back over the last several decades and think, enough, that was good enough, that was all there is to living?
I know I wouldn't, and I would seriously doubt that anyone could say that.
Okay. All right. How come you're not a Mormon anymore?
You know, it wasn't one serious reason, I guess. I think a lot of different things helped me decide, you know, not to really practice anymore. Number one, my family really pushed it on us. We didn't really have a free agency, I guess, if you will, to explore or research other religions. I found that, and I now know that it's true in every other religion, there's a lot of hypocrisy and there's a lot of things that people say that is the way that whatever religion or spirituality belief you may have, this is the way to do it. And then they turn around and sure. it's never like that.
Yeah,
you know?
And
of course, as I've gotten older, I understand it's really just human nature. It has nothing to do with the religion itself.
Michael, let me try to do something with you. All right.
Okay.
Let's put you in your bed just for a minute. All right.
Okay.
All right. Your world has just gotten really small. And let's see if we can make sense of what the point. You said, I don't know that anybody can figure out what the point is. I think you can figure it out and look back and go, yeah, that was right. So let me take you to your bed right now. You're sitting there alone and you're viewing the film of your life and reliving some moments, and you're enjoying maybe the trip to Italy where you got to go through the Chianti region and oh, that was wonderful, and you have memories. But I want you to recall some other memories. And I want you to recall the memories that maybe nobody else has ever seen. The times that, boy, if people knew that you did that or thought that, it would be horrifyingly embarrassing for you.
Okay.
All right? Michael, throughout the course of you're a guy, have you spent any moments of your life fantasizing about women?
Absolutely.
All right. So there's that reel is running when those things happen and you wish nobody knew about that. Have you ever just been just so furious with somebody, you've called them a nasty name, flipped them off, been really torqued with somebody?
Absolutely.
All right. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? God's name as a curse word?
I have.
All right. So that reel, let's say, of your life is there, and you start thinking, boy, if there's an afterlife, and if there's a God, and if I have to give an account, Michael, if he saw those films, do you think that he'd find you innocent or guilty of being good, of living a moral life?
I think if he only saw those, then he would consider me guilty.
All right. So if you were guilty, and because this being, this God knew that you had done these bad things,
right.
Do you think he should reward you or punish you?
I think that we should be rewarded on our good deeds and not punished for our bad.
But that doesn't even work in a justice system today. A criminal gets pulled before the judge, and he says, Judge, I know I've broken the laws, but I've done some good things. I think you should kind of balance things out and maybe reward me. If you've broken the laws, you get punished.
So, I know, but I think that God is a fairly merciful person.
Well, that's different, though. He is merciful, but he's also just, and justice demands you don't just overlook wrongdoing, you punish it. So if God, let's call him God, sees your crimes, should he send you to heaven or to hell?
Wow, I guess when you put it that way, I should definitely go to hell.
All right. Now,
you know,
I know that you were in the Mormon religion. I'm not a Mormon. I'm a Christian. All right.
Okay.
I'm an evangelical Christian.
Mormons are Christians. I mean, you have to just in all honesty, to be fair, you do have to say that Mormons are Christians.
We'll tackle that debate another day. But I'm an evangelical kind of guy. All right.
Okay.
Here's what I think the point of life is in looking back where you can say, yes, it is well with my soul on your deathbed.
Okay.
As best you understand, Michael, if God should send you to hell for his wrongdoing, what has God done to demonstrate his mercy, that thing you brought up? What has God done to demonstrate his kindness to you?
Wait, repeat that?
You're on your deathbed.
Okay.
You've broken the laws. God should punish you and send you to hell. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, God is merciful. What has God done to demonstrate his mercy to you?
After I've already been banished?
No, it's already been done.
I'm on my way.
God has done something so that you don't have to go to hell. Something very merciful. What has God done to rescue you from going to hell?
Well, whenever he gave, you know, Christ as the kind of the Lamb of God, you know, whenever he was sacrificed.
To take away the sins of the world. That's right. And see, Michael, that's the whole point. And that's how you can look back and say, it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. If you're on your deathbed and you recognized what a sinner you have been, but when you know how kind God has been in sending his son to die to save us, if you've received that forgiveness, everything makes sense. Suffering makes sense. The afterlife makes sense. My life makes sense if I've been forgiven by God and if I'm in a right relationship with God. Because here's what I think the point to life is, Michael. Everything exists so that God can demonstrate his mercy, grace, and his loving kindness. So that all of creation for all of eternity can go, wow, is he the most amazingly kind God? He's just unbelievably kind and merciful and grace-filled. He sent forth his son to die to save you, that if you, Michael, would repent, put your trust in the Savior, God would forgive you, grant you everlasting life. You'd go to heaven, not because you're a good guy, but because you're a bad guy who's been forgiven by a good God, and everybody's going to praise him, including you, for being so kind. That's what I think the purpose of life is.
I would totally agree with that. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. So, Michael,
uh-huh.
Mormonism aside here, if you've backslidden from Jesus Christ, dude, it's really unlikely that you were ever a true follower of Jesus. And so let me just leave a thought with you, Michael.
Okay.
Think about your conscience lying on that deathbed. God sees it all. He knows it all. And he's angry about sin, and he must punish it. But he's good, and he's kind, and he sent his son, fully God, fully mad, not the brother of the devil, fully God, to die for your sins so that you would repent and put your trust in him so that he would grant you everlasting life and be praised for his kindness. Would you please think about this stuff today?
I absolutely will.
Hey, dude, I enjoyed my chat with you. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
See
y'all. Have a good day.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Glad you're here today. Always appreciate when you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And grateful to our gospel partners, the folks who make Wretched possible. No, really. They keep the lights on here. They let us preach the gospel. They let us equip others to preach and defend the gospel. And they help us to strengthen the local church. That's what gospel partners do. Their faithful and consistent generosity helps us reach people around the world. Have you considered partnering with us? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details on how you can give your tax-deductible gifts to Wretched on a monthly basis. Yes, we do have gospel partners, and yes, we would like more because the more you give, the more we can give away. And our promise to you is to be good stewards of your money. So no, we won't be buying jet planes, but we will be spending 83% of every dollar on ministry work. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to Trish on the streets.
Hi, Todd. I'm here with Julian, who is a young gentleman. He's 20 years old. He works at this Express Sign store here locally in Keller. But it's interesting. We're getting into some things because I was telling him, I'm like, do you know that there's this Buddhist temple here in Fort Worth that's home of the biggest Buddha in the United States? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, I want to get an interview there. I think it would be interesting to interview a Buddhist. He said, I actually dated a girl for a year that went to that temple. And I said, are you kidding me? And he said, yeah. And I said, but you've never seen the Buddha? Did you ever go and see the biggest Buddha in the U.S.? They said, no, he didn't. But and it didn't work out, but he said he was with her for an entire year. And he was just telling me about a three-year engagement that he just kind of broke off. So that's probably kind of hard and emotional. But I wanted to talk to you guys. You're going to talk to Ray or Todd. I'm not sure which one. Are you ready? Live on the air? Okay, here's Julian.
Alrighty. Hello?
Hey, Julian. Thanks for coming on the air. So you haven't seen the biggest Buddha in the U.S.?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, and you went with a girl that used to go to that temple. Did she try and convert you?
No. I mean, later on in the relationship, it kind of got to marriage, and it was either going to go either way. I mean, if she didn't convert, I didn't convert. I mean, so that's pretty much why it kind of ended.
Right. So you live in the Bible Belt, the buckle of the Bible Belt in Texas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on God and heaven? Do you pray?
Yeah, yes, sir.
You do pray?
Yes, sir.
And and what do you pray about?
Actually, I pray for mainly my family. Family's going through a rough time right now, so
yeah.
Pray to God for a little bit of help here and there.
So do you think anything hinders prayer?
I think God hears the people that are more faithful and more, not just the people that are just, you know, will pray when they want something. It's a little more to it. I think they got to show signs and be more open with their religion. I mean, that's my point of view.
Right. Are you born again?
I'm sorry?
Have you been born again?
No, I don't believe so.
You don't believe so? Did you know that Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you have to be born again to enter heaven?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, most people don't know it. I didn't know it. I was 22 years a non-Christian, and no one bothered to tell me that you had to be born again. Jesus put it this way. He said, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. So it's essential to be born again. So it's real important, Julian, that you're born again. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So that you'll see your need to be born again, okay? You need a brand new start with God. Everybody does. I did, but I didn't realize it until I measured myself by God's standard. We somehow perceive God as being like us, that he sees things as we see them, that his standards are the same as ours. But the Bible tells us that God is perfect, and his standard of righteousness is utter perfection. So, do you think you're a good person?
Yes, sir, I do believe so.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is put the light of God's law up close to you so you can see yourself in truth. Or put it another way, we're going to put a mirror up to you so you can see yourself in truth. We're going to go through some of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie, Julian?
Yes, sir, I have.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No, sir. Maybe when I was younger, too young to remember. I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, maybe a couple times.
Yeah, that's real serious. You know, God gave you life. He gave you eyes to see with, ears to hear with, taste buds to enjoy good food, a brain to think with, the very blood in your veins, your soul, everything comes from God. And instead of showing him gratitude from your heart, you've taken his holy name and you've used his name to express disgust. And that's called blasphemy. And it's very serious in God's sight. It's violation of the third of the Ten Commandments, which says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, now listen to this. We've looked at four of the Ten Commandments, and so far you've broken three of them. By your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous adulterer at heart. So how do you think you're doing?
Not too good.
Do you think you're going to be found guilty or innocent on the day of judgment?
Hopefully with a little bit of forgiveness, innocent.
As you go through all the commandments, you'll see that we've broken them in spirit, if not in letter. Did you know the Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer?
Mm-hmm.
That's how high God's standards are. And then you spoke about forgiveness. You know, God just doesn't give out forgiveness just willy-nilly. What you've got to do is do something to receive his forgiveness. And do you know what that is?
No, sir, what's that?
Well, God made provision for you to be forgiven when Jesus suffered and died on the cross. Okay, you know that Jesus died for you? You've heard that?
Yes.
That he took your punishment upon himself on the cross. What he was doing was he was redeeming you from the curse of the law you've broken. The Bible calls the Ten Commandments God's law. You broke that law, and what Jesus did on the cross was he paid your fine, and he paid it in his life's blood. Jesus was God in human form, the perfect sinless man who came to give his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world and to defeat death. The Bible says it wasn't possible that death should hold him, and he rose from the dead on the third day. So what you've got to do is repent and trust in Jesus. That's more than just saying, God, I need your forgiveness. It's actually turning from sin. It's where you say, God, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to blaspheme, I'm not even going to lust. I'm going to ask you to help me day by day to keep my eyes and my heart pure in your sight. It's a repentance, turning from all sin. And then when the Bible speaks of faith in Jesus, it's talking about trusting him for your eternal salvation. Not just believing in him, but putting your faith in him. Like you trust an elevator. If you want to go to the 10th floor of a building, you don't believe in the elevator. You actually put your trust into it. You step into it. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to step into Christ or let him come into your life and trust him for your salvation. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay, now here's a really important question, Julian. If you died now, right now, if your heart gave out, where would you go?
Judging by what you've told me so far, somewhere not pretty.
Yeah, well, the Bible says it's a place called hell. It says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator will enter heaven. So if you died today, you'd end up in hell. So you've got a huge choice. You can say, okay, I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep on lusting and just going my own way. But what the Bible says you're doing, you're actually storing up God's wrath. Every time you sin, his justice must be satisfied. So you're storing up his anger like a rapist just keeps on raping people. And I'll put it another way. Have you ever seen those car chases on television where the commentator's saying, there he goes again, he's just broken another law, he's on the wrong side of the road, just gone through a stop sign, another law, he's just getting the law more and more mad at him every time he transgresses it. And when they catch him, there's a whole list of crimes he has to face. Well, every time you sin, you're storing up God's wrath, the Bible says in Romans 2. And so you should be really fearful. You should listen to your fears. And fear is a good thing to have. If you're going to step off a cliff and you look down and saw a 1,000-foot drop, your fear should make you turn around. It should want to preserve you. And so God's given you a fear, a God-given fear, to cause you to turn from your sins and trust in the Savior. So, Julian, please think about what we've talked about. I really appreciate you, the fact that you've had an open and honest heart with me, and you seem to have a humble attitude. So get before the Lord and confess and forsake your sins. Just say, oh, God, please, please show me your holiness and show me my own sinful heart so I can be sorry and serious about what I've done. And then turn from them, and then pick up a Bible and daily read it, and anything God's Word says to you, just obey it, because you'll show God that you love Him by your obedience to His Word. Todd.
Hey, thanks very much for joining us today. It was a delight to talk to you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Julian, see ya.
All right.
Bye. Ray?
Yeah?
I couldn't add a single thing. I simply want to share a statistics from some guy named Ray Comfort. Let's leave the denomination out of it. But nevertheless, in the last 10 years, we had 5.3 million stated decisions for Jesus Christ. But the growth of their Sunday services during that period was only 221,000. That's a 4.2% conversion growth. So people, by the millions, having some sort of Christian something or another, and yet 4.2% are actually following up with it. And I Julian, maybe fit that bill, and maybe somebody listening fit that bill. What's going on here?
They've got a 95.8% fall-away rate. That is, they can't account for 95.8% of their decisions.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I know why.
Why?
Why? Because they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. They're giving a perverted, twisted, unbiblical gospel proclamation. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Give your heart to Jesus. Some of them aren't even saying that. They say, just come forward and give your life to Christ. There's something missing in your life. You come forward. We have counselors waiting for you. You want to go to heaven when you die? Give your heart to Jesus.
If you have given your heart to Jesus, but you have never heard the whole counsel, well, now you have from Ray. You heard the law, opened up the moral law, which will judge you. You heard its consequence. You heard that Jesus Christ died to take your punishment. You heard that you must repent and trust, not sign a card. Repent and trust. If you haven't done that, then today is the day of salvation.
Until next time, go serve your King.